Next Lord's Day, we'll pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll continue with our Sunday morning expository messages in the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm looking forward to that, 2 Corinthians 11. I always really, really appreciate everyone's flexibility, giving me the freedom to go and be spontaneous, etc., go in a different direction whenever I so feel led. And so it is this morning. I feel a little bit selfish. I'm really preaching a four-point message to myself this morning. I came in early Tuesday, and I was thinking about many, many different things. Really felt like I needed to be encouraged. And the four biblical passages that really encouraged me on Tuesday, I would like to share with you this morning, just briefly. And the first one comes to us from the most familiar passage in the Bible, John 3:16. And I know we left off there 2 weeks ago. I spent a fully developed message in the context of John chapter 3, and we went through every nuance of that chapter. But just for a moment or two, can we return there, John 3:16, and let's talk about the love of God this morning, please. Let's talk about the love of God, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Before we say another word, let's bow our heads, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, bless the reading of your word, bless the recitation of this verse. We are so grateful to have these verses in our heart. John 3:16, and I pray for these four points today, that you would encourage your flock with your character, your love, your mercy, the promises of your faithfulness, our future with you. I pray for every heavy heart, every sickness, spiritually or physically, every hurt, every heartache, as we begin a new year. Dear God, that you would minister to us again through your word. Holy Spirit, take the broken man before you and give me ability, wisdom from you. We know the treasure is God. We have the treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is the word. We have the treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power would be of God, not of ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. As we enter into yet another year, as we turn the page on the calendar, just personally, you may approach this differently, but for me, I think of the turning of the page on the calendar as something literal and profound and real. I think of it as a new beginning, a new opportunity to minister and worship, to be a more godly man. To be a more a passionate man for the glory of God, and a time where the things of the past, the sins of the past, are forgotten, and we have hope, we have optimism for the future. All of the foundational principles of our hope, our optimism, beloved, come from the love of God. John chapter 3, verse 16. Think about the love of God this morning, believer. That God loved the sinner so much, God loved you so much, that he sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for your sins through suffering, through shed blood, through death, and his resurrection. The love of God is unlike the love of your precious husband or wife. The love of God is unlike the love you have for your children or your children have for you. The love of God is unlike anything that the pastor can illustrate or explain. And I think the breakdown related to the love of God comes from all of the disappointments we have in life related to love. The pastor is unable to love his people as God would have it. The people are unable to love the pastor as God would have it. The husband is unable to love his wife as Christ loves the church. The wife is unable to love her husband as God would desire. Because of sin, because of the fallen nature of the world, the flesh, the devil. And yet the love of God is perfect. It is pure. Last week or 2 weeks ago, when we were going through the context of John 3, we brought out all those nuances related to Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, and how Jesus simply said, you must be born again. How is that possible? Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? And Jesus goes into the beautiful picture of Numbers chapter 21, the principle of faith as the Israelites needed to look to God's remedy for sin. And then Jesus gives Nicodemus the fulfillment of Numbers 21, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. I'm grateful that as a pastor, John 3:16 has never gotten old. It's not a cliche. It's not a religious slogan. I believe the love of God is real. I have experienced the love of God, and I was thinking about it on Tuesday as I was putting some notes together and reflecting in prayer. As we enter into the new year, my prayer for everyone who would be here today is that you would truly know the love of God today. You would believe the love of God. God's passion for you, His jealousy for you, His desire to go to war for you is real. And whatever disappointment, whatever pain, whatever frustration, whatever has happened in the past, whatever you're dreading in the future, the love of God is a principle that is literal, it is real, it is unchanging, and I commend it to you today. As you begin the new year, think deeply, drink deeply from the love of God. Second, building on the love of God in John 3:16 is a passage that is somewhat obscure in the church. But it comes to us from the book of Romans, and it's in Romans chapter 2. Please turn there. Romans 2 is really the ugly stepchild of the first eight chapters of Romans. Everyone knows and quotes from Romans 1 and 3 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone quote from Romans chapter 2 in all my years in the ministry. But I want to ask you to turn to Romans 2 with me, please. Romans chapter 2. Our second encouraging spiritual principle this morning, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. And I just want to pick up this context with you, beginning in verse 1. And this is building richly off of our first point in John 3:16. Let's take that a step further now. Romans 2 is a fascinating chapter. It deals with the impartiality of God related to Jews and Gentiles alike. And as you know, the Jews were always raising up some standard from the law that they had rewritten and modified, a standard in their mind they felt they were keeping, and therefore they felt superior over others, specifically Gentiles. And this whole chapter is about demolishing that ridiculous thesis that anyone is keeping the law, that anyone is pleasing God, that anyone is good, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. There's no impartiality with God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no favoritism. Everyone is equally sinful under the law. Paul begins with this thesis in Romans 2. Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who is passing judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. Look at verse 4 with me. And I realize we're just dropping in here like a paratrooper on the scene without a lot of building up of this context. But I think just from reading those first number of verses and that brief commentary on Romans 2, you can grasp what's happening in verse 4. And I want to just concentrate on verse 4 for a couple of minutes this morning. Look at it with me in your Bible. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? In real churches, in Bible teaching churches, in churches that believe the Bible as the Word of God, we spend a lot of time talking about the reality of sin and the law, and dare I say, hell, eternal separation from God for those who do not believe in the Son. We've been going through the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We talk about these great verses about the character of God, the attributes of God. When we were going through the book of Hebrews without apology, we went through those verses: without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And it's the pastor's duty in the New Covenant, in the New Testament church, to warn people about sin, the consequences of sin. The consequences of unbelief in Christ are beyond any sermon that any man could preach. Eternal judgment, eternal punishment. And we talk about that without apology. Pastors, youth workers, parents, we shrink from truth if we erase those realities. But at the very same time, look at verse 4 with me in your Bible. The other side of the coin is this principle of God's love related to faith and repentance and change. It's so often neglected. Personally, I have experienced Romans 2:4 as an agent of change in my life in many, many areas. Rather than getting what I deserve, I'm talking about as a believer now, one who has had his eyes open to the truth of the gospel and has been born again. Post-conversion. And obviously, you can apply this pre-conversion, but post-conversion, many of us have experienced this. Rather than getting what we deserve, chastening, judgment, God has been patient. Look at verse 4. Kind, tolerant, and the kindness of God, beloved, leads one to repentance. Just like the promise of judgment and wrath and hell. I don't know that I had ever heard that emphasized until I started understanding the book of Romans myself. And I want to just commend that to you today. You say, what does it mean practically as you're going through this? I'm a little bit confused. Practically, beloved, if there's one thing or two things or three things in your life today, and you're turning the page, you have a new start today. You're a believer. You're professing Jesus as Lord and Savior. You have an opportunity today because of God's kindness, His patience, His tolerance, to turn from things that are displeasing to God, not because of fear of punishment, but because of the great principle that God loves you. Isn't that magnanimous? Isn't that unbelievable? That's the child who says, I love my dad, I respect my dad so much. I don't want to do anything to displease him. And I want to change my attitude around the house. I want to be more respectful. I want to do chores when they're given to me. Because I love my dad so much. Let Romans 2:4 speak to you today. If you're not concerned about judgment or God's chastening or the reality of these difficult things, let God's love, patience, tolerance speak to you about that one thing, that two things, that three things you need to cut out. You need to cut out of your life today. And you can do it. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. And let the love of God be a motivating factor to cut those things, to change, to repent means to turn, to go the other direction from those things. In a group this size, every person has one or two things. And God is saying to you, won't you repent? Won't you turn from those things to be a better son and a better servant for my glory? Let God speak to you about that. Let the love of God, the kindness of God, the tolerance, the patience of God lead you to repentance today. It's a glorious principle as you start the new year. It's glorious. Third principle. The third principle I was thinking about is much more on the beaten path. Something I've talked about comes to us from Lamentations, please. Go ahead and turn there with me. Every year at this time, I believe the church should talk about Lamentations chapter 3. Go ahead and turn there with me. Right near the middle of your Bible is Isaiah. Just keep going to the right. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations, please, chapter 3. I was reading a message from Franklin Graham. You might have saw his message last night that he was giving to the world. It was fascinating to me. It was a good message. It said, if you think things are, I don't, maybe you saw this. If you think things, it was very brief but very profound. And it's somewhat sarcastic but true. If you think things were bad in 2023, wait, things are going to get a lot worse. I believe he's right. There's no hope for the world that we live in that it's getting better. Government, politics, society. I believe that the jack is out of the box. Until the Lord comes, things are not getting better. I think he was right when he said that last night. If you think things are bad in 2022, wait. Things are going to get a lot worse. Until the Lord comes. And every single believer in this room has experienced pain and suffering in the last year, mourning, weeping. And if you haven't experienced that in the last year, you'll experience that soon. Jeremiah has been called a weeping prophet. Look at this with me, beginning in verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible is such a great book, a truthful book, because it doesn't paint life with a false color. It paints life in all of its reality. What does that mean? It's a fallen world, full of fallen people, fallen circumstances, and people, believer and unbeliever alike, in God, are going to what? Suffer. Jeremiah was a man of God. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. I think some of us are going to relate to Jeremiah this morning. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1. I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. Just summarize this with me. Verse 8. Even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. People have said that to me. I feel like God is not hearing my prayer. Maybe you're in that place today. Look at verse 13. He made the arrows of his quiver to enter into my inward parts. Verse 14. I have become a laughingstock to all my people, their mocking song all the day. Verse 17. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. This is a dirty little secret that no one talks about in the church. There are many people who have long since forgotten the joy of God, the joy of the Lord. They're not happy. Jeremiah was there. You're not alone if you're there today. Look at verse 18. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. There are a lot of people today that they feel hopeless. Look at verse 19. We move from despair to hope. Beginning of verse 19, there's a great change here. Based on who God is. Verse 19, remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Wow. Talk about an honest reflection from a godly man. A contrite reflection. Verse 21. Glorious. You're moving from despair to hope. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. What is the basis of hope? It's the theme of our service this morning, the love of God, the character of God, the Lord's, look at verse 22, the Lord's loving kindnesses, plural. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail, verse 22. Verse 23, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I commend this passage to you as well. This was encouraging as I was looking at this and thinking about this on Tuesday. I try to mention this every year at least once. This is a great day to do it, Lamentations chapter 3. Whatever difficult situation, circumstance you're in this morning, however your thought process has unfolded as you came into the church this morning, won't you hear God speak to you today about His character, His faithfulness, His loving kindnesses indeed never cease, His compassions never fail. We have a new year as we turn the page on the calendar. Not only do we have a new year, look at verse 23. God's compassions are new. His faithfulness is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Look at verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him. Again, I humble myself. I realize it's an insurmountable task for the pastor to make this real. I've prayed the Holy Spirit would speak to you in the deepest depth of your heart where no one sees. And that you would read this and the Holy Spirit would be teaching you and God would be speaking to you today. And God would say to you that I love you. My faithfulness is real. My loving kindness is real. My compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And that we would say, like Jeremiah, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I have hope in Him. As you enter the new year, won't you pray that prayer today? Say, God, the Lord is my portion in the coming year. And I know maybe in the last year, God, you haven't been my portion. You haven't been my satisfaction. You haven't been my joy. You haven't been a reason for my living. And I know that, and I confess that, God. But today I hear the Bible speak to me, and the Lord is my portion, says my soul. And therefore I have hope in Him. What a great passage. What a great passage in the Bible. And then finally, we turn all the way to the end of the story. Look at Revelation 21. If none of that makes sense, I mean, how does a man leave church on a Sunday feeling great, laughing, looking forward to seeing his children and grandchildren, and a day or two later he's fighting for his life? And that's real. We're experiencing that with Dwayne. A year ago, we were mourning and celebrating the death of Sam. And so quickly, goes from being perfectly healthy and monumental contributor to the things of God, and healthy and laughing and strong and vibrant and serving God and bearing unimaginable fruit, and then coughing, and then less than 2 years later, he's in heaven. How do parents lose children? How does a parent bury a child? Unimaginable suffering that people go through. I talk about it often because I think that's the greatest suffering any man or woman will ever endure. But we all experience different levels of suffering. And there is no answer from the parent, the pastor, the counselor. There's no human answer. There's no medicine that can heal the brokenhearted. But for the genuine Christian who loves God, who's been born again, let's close with Revelation 21. Let's read together Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. As we begin the new year, please look at Revelation 21, 1 through 7. And be reminded how this human story ends, please. Have the eyes of faith to see how the human story ends by the grace of God, the plan of God, the redemption of God, the sovereignty of God. God's desire, look at this with me in your Bible, verse 4, to be among men, verse 3, verse 4, to wipe away tears, to wipe away death, to wipe away mourning and crying and pain. God is faithful. And you can trust Him today in a world that doesn't want you to believe this or hear this. Your flesh doesn't want you to hear this or believe this, to be honest. Listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you about the end of the story. Be encouraged. I can't imagine what, in a group this size, what someone's facing or has faced, or the suffering, the crying, the tears, the pain. I can't imagine. But God promises, when this world is no more, and we come to the end either by meeting Christ at His rapture or death, the promise of God is related to His character, His faithfulness. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let's pray. Take the weakness of the offering, dear God, the foolishness of preaching, I pray, and that You would bless the reading of Your word. And as we've made a collage of all of these passages, John 3:16 and Romans 2:4 and Lamentations 3:22 through 4 and Revelation 21:1 through 7, dear God, that You would encourage Your precious flock today, that You would encourage Your pastor, that we would have the eyes of faith, that even in the world of suffering, crying, tears, and pain, we would believe the end of the story because of Your love, Your grace, Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we